Praise the Lord. Well, if we went home now, we'd be blessed. Woo, that stirs me up. Awesome, awesome. So you heard that. Last week, they checked in 400 kids in 3 to 5 year olds. Not all of them are from Miracle Life, but they once they come, they never leave. I think right on the front row, Brighton, at our very, very first vacation Bible school, his son came, went to vacation Bible school the whole week, kind of quiet about it. They drove to church on Sunday, and he turned to his dad and he said, "Dad, I just want to let you know, if you ever leave Miracle Life, I'm not going with you." Well, you're still here, thankfully. All right. But yeah, this is it's a call to action. And so everyone, if this is your church home, before the end of April, let's all do something towards this campaign over and above our regular giving. Amen? So PH and I did ours in December. All right. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Happy New Year to everyone. We have crossed over. Amen. Pastor, why don't you have a crossover service at Miracle Life? I can't stay awake that long, all right? So you cross over, you pray, do what you do, you know? That's fine. I don't know if we were awake. Yeah, we did watch the fireworks in London on TV. We didn't go to the river, but we watched it on TV. Then we were asleep. All right. Mark chapter 4, this is a story that happened with real people. Jesus is with his disciples. And if you look at the Gospels, Jesus was moving. And he was going from place to place. And he was ministering. He was lifting people. And at the same time, he was bringing his disciples along with him. Because he knew that in a very short amount of time, I'm going to be gone. They're going to remain. And the work that I do, they're going to do this work. And so every encounter, it was a teaching opportunity for his disciples. So we can look at these stories and we can say, wow, this is so amazing. Wouldn't it be great to be there? But the other way we read these stories from the Gospels is that you and I are disciples. We are followers of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit brought out specific encounters that Jesus had with his disciples. John, in his gospel, said, if I were to write everything that Jesus did, the world couldn't even contain all the writings that I could give. Saying, so these are selective encounters, but they're important because what happens is you and I see ourselves in these stories. And we see where they learned and where they grew through certain things and the expectations that Jesus had of them, he has of us. All right. So I think we're going to see some amazing things. And I hope this is a great way to start off the 2025 to follow Jesus and to follow his word. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, these are his 12 disciples, let us cross over to the other side. So this is the Sea of Galilee. Now, it's not a sea, it's a lake. It's a dam, and it's actually not as big as you think. Kariba's way, 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 way bigger. All right, Tanganyika is way, way bigger than the Sea of Galilee. All right, so, but there was a whole commerce that happened around it with fishing. And there were storms that would happen on the Sea of Galilee. All right. So, and happened on this day. Verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And there were other little boats also with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat. So it was already filling with water. And he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And when they awoke him, they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And they said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? All right. Pastor Haley and I went to Oral Roberts University, and I heard him minister on this text a few times, and he would put it this way. You can't go under if you're going over. So Jesus, when he got onto the boat with the disciples, he made this declaration. Let us go over to the other side. The other side of what? The Sea of Galilee. So we're going to leave this side and we're going to go over. So he made a declaration. And I understand sometimes in, you know, 2024, 2025, Pastor, do you have any declarations? I don't, but Jesus does. God's word has already declared exceedingly great and precious promises. Amen. That are backed up by the covenant of God. They're not backed up with a prophetic anointing. They're not backed up with a pastoral anointing. They're not backed up with anything but the blood of Jesus. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And you qualify for those promises because you are in the family of God. All right? So Jesus said, we're going over. Where? We're going over to the other side. And so one thing that this shows us is that it is so important for us to know what God has said before the storm hits. Before the storm hits. Now you're saying, Pastor, what storm? Are you declaring 2025 a year of storms? No, Jesus already has declared 2025 and the rest of your life as a time of storms. Jesus said, this is one of those promises you don't put on your refrigerator. You don't have to confess five times a day. He said, in this life, that means before you die, while you're in a body, in this life you will have trouble. How many of you have lived long enough to know he wasn't kidding? All right. How many of you have seen some trouble? All right. And the fact is we live in a fallen world, right? Genesis chapter 3, there are thorns and thistles. We live in a fallen world. There are, is it 7 billion people now? It just keeps skyrocketing, right? 7 billion people, most of whom are crazy. Right? You know, the people that believe, you all were, you know, 99% of the world is just good. I don't know what world they live on, all right? But there's a lot of crazy people. And so there are some of storms that are people created, right? But we're going to go through stuff. But the same Jesus said that you're going to have difficulties in this world. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Meaning, I'm going to help you. I am with you. Just like this story, he didn't leave them in the storm. He was with them in the storm. So he said, let us cross over to the other side. Don't you love that language? Let us. Meaning, we're in this together. Jesus is in your boat. And when we go through hard times, it affects us and it can be scary. But the Bible says that God is close to the broken. All right? That he is a very present help in time of need. He's not just a present help in a church or in a prayer meeting, although he is, but he's a very present help in time of trouble. There's a story, I've told it before. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a good story. But there was a family, and they had a double-story house, and it was on fire. And so the kids were sleeping upstairs, and the the family all got out, and then they're counting the kids, and there's a child that's missing. And so they see the child on the upstairs, and there's smoke and there's fire, and he wants to jump out the window, but it's a long way down, and all this smoke, and he can't know, doesn't know what's going on. And the father says, "Johnny, jump, jump." And Johnny says, "Dad, I can't jump. I can't even see you." He said, "It's okay. I can see you jump." Aren't you glad God doesn't leave during the fire? He's in the fire with us. He's the fourth man in the fire. So we are going to the other side. Jesus did not abandon them. He remained. And the one thing we see about Jesus in the storm is he's not as upset as we are. Amen? Oh, there were so many times when we hear in this testimony of the different building campaigns and the Oasis building. And sometimes those of us that were there, we reminisce, you know, the days of the Oasis building. When I drive by the Oasis building that no longer exists, it was razed and something else is in its place. Sometimes when I drive by the Oasis, I get a little tick, you know, and because those were tough days. Those were tough days. Pastor Haley and I got to Zambia in January of 2004. And we were told just a few months before we arrived, after we had already said we're coming, "Oh yeah, by the way, the church's lease expires in September." Oh, okay. And then here's the other news, is the landlord does not want to renew the lease. The person who owns the building, and the people who own the land, they want you gone. Oh, okay. Isn't he good? Isn't he great? Isn't he faithful? Look at my life. Look what he's done. Isn't he able? Amen. Look at miracle life. Look what he's done. He's been in the boat with us. Amen. He's in the boat with you. So, Jesus declared there is a destination, and we are going there. All right, now, here's what you and I have to determine in our life, is for God to say it, that has to be enough. That has to be enough. We were visiting the UK, visiting our daughter Jessica, who's studying there, and our son Tim joined us. And we saw, driving around, and we saw Methodist churches that were started by John Wesley. And that kind of is how what you and I are in the Pentecostal Charismatic Movement, they were our great-grandfathers, all right? A huge revival in the 1800s that went around the world. But John Wesley put it this way, that we are people of the book. We are people of the book. So when God has made a promise, when God has said something about us, that he has declared us righteous, that he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, that by his blood we are forgiven, we are raised up, we are children of God. So for God to say it, it's enough. It's enough. I don't need a confirmation. I just need to know that God has said it. And so for the disciples, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." But either they forgot, or the circumstances were too big, or they got distracted. But for them at that time, it wasn't enough. All right? They got worried. All right. So there were two things that they did in their response to Jesus that we need to be cautioned about. All right. Because if they face this, very likely we're going to face and have a temptation for this response. So the first thing they said to Jesus is, so they woke him up. There's this storm. The water is coming into the boat. And here's what they say. in verse 38. And it's really it's an accusation, isn't it? Teacher, do you not care? Do you not care? All right. So in the middle of a tough time, they made an assumption about Jesus. Why would you do that? You see, one of the things about God is, and there's a technical word for this, it's called that God is immutable, meaning God said about himself, I change not. See, you and I, hopefully we change. Hopefully we're changing for the good. Amen? Sanctification. God is helping us to grow more and more like Jesus. But God doesn't need to be sanctified. He's already as good as he's going to be. And so he doesn't change. So when God says, I care, it doesn't change. Now, do our circumstances change? Yes. Do we get in storms? We do. But does God change how he thinks about us? He doesn't. Now, these men were raised Jewish, and they were acquainted with Scripture. All right, so there was some information that God was already on the record about how he cared about them, and they realized Jesus is God. All right, here's what Isaiah 40 says. Isaiah 40, verse 10 and 11. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Does that sound like a God who cares? Yet, because of the waves, because of the water in the boat, they make an assumption, I don't think Jesus cares. Don't ever change what you think about the character and nature of God as revealed in Scripture just because you're going through a hard time. Just because someone you know has gone through a hard time. All right? So God does not change during storms. Now, what do we know about storms in the Bible? Because there's kind of three famous ones, you could say, and this is one of them. Because there are people that kind of, what I call circumstance theology. So they make up beliefs based on what they're going through, rather than basing their beliefs on the revealed Word of God. Now, Jonah in the Old Testament, he went through a storm, didn't he? All right? A really significant storm, so much so that the people on the boat with him thought that they were going to die, that the whole ship was going to go down. Now, this will be a Q&A this morning, but why was Jonah in a storm? If we could point fingers, which we're going to do, why was there a storm? Whose fault was it? Jonah, full stop. All right. Jonah was in a storm because of Jonah. He was running from God. He was being disobedient. All right. And he didn't have to be in a storm had he been obedient. And once he got into obedience, there wasn't another storm. All right. So there are some storms that you and I are going to face, and we have to admit it, they're self-induced. Not all of your financial problems are an attack of the enemy, and we're going to rebuke him. No, you spent too much money in December. We saw quite a few Miracle Life people in the airports as we were coming back. I'm not going to point to anybody here, but some of them had lots of suitcases. With what? Stuff. All right. I hope you could afford it. All right. I'm not going to point to anybody. They're in this room. You know who you are. All right. Now, so can the enemy attack? He can attack. All right. But there are times where the devil is not attacking your marriage. You've neglected your marriage. All right. You've not put in wisdom in your marriage. Your spouse has said for 3 years, let's go to Marriage Builders. Let's go to Marriage Builders. Let's go to Marriage Builders. And now, whew, it's tough. All right. So are you facing a storm? Yes. But guess what? God cares about you and he cares about your storm, even if it's your fault. He still cares. And there is still a way of escape to help you if you turn to him and if you turn to his word. All right. So Jonah was in a storm, self-induced. All right. Paul, in the book of Acts, there was a time where he was doing the business of gospel ministry, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, prompted him, gave him a word of wisdom about the future, that this ship, if we go right now, it's going to be big trouble. There will be loss to this ship. So he went and he warned the captain, and he said, look, God showed me that if we go now, it's going to be big trouble. He said, don't worry about it. No, we'll do it. And so they went, and sure enough, the entire ship went down. Paul was saved. Because of Paul, the people were saved, all right? But they did suffer loss. So Paul was in a storm. Whose fault was it? It was the other guy's fault, wasn't it? All right? So there may be a situation where, you know, I'm sorry, but you picked the wrong business partner. And they made some really foolish decisions. Did you make the foolish decision? No. But you did make a decision to make them your business partner and to give them power on the checkbook, on the current account, and you're in a tough spot because of someone else. A lot of times this happens in a company or in a business unit or something where there's some other decisions that, man, it really does affect you, doesn't it? All right? Was God with Paul in the storm? He was with Paul in the storm. Did he help him get out of the storm? Absolutely, he helped him get out of the storm. It wasn't even his fault, but he got him out of it. All right? Now, in this case, Jesus rebukes the waves, doesn't he, with his disciples? So this would lead me to believe that this was a demonic storm. This was a storm based on the enemy. Jesus spoke to spirits, didn't he? He spoke to sickness. He spoke to things that were opposed to God and opposed to the will of God. If this storm was the will of God, Jesus wouldn't have rebuked it. He would have just said, well done, Father. We're riding the waves. No, this was something to come against. All right. So he rebuked it. So are there storms that are an attack of the enemy? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And guess what? Jesus is in the boat with you. So whether you're Jonah, Paul, or the disciples, and you're going through a storm, or there will be a storm, the answer is the same. Turn to God. Turn to his promises. All right? So Jesus said, they said, you don't care for us. Okay? And that simply wasn't the case. Jesus did care. Now, the other thing is they said, don't you care that we are perishing? All right. Now, the New Living Translation and the NIV put it this way. We are going to drown. We're going to drown. Now, what does that mean? If you can say we're going to drown, it means you haven't drowned. We're going to die, meaning you're not dead yet. So what they had done, and oh my goodness, I'm afraid I'm guilty of this one from time to time in my life, is we're somewhere in the middle of a story in a storm, and what do? We fast forward. we fast forward. My wife and I love to watch sports. All right. Now, when we first got married, I think I liked it more. My wife has surpassed me. Oh, men, single men, oh, that you would find a wife that would say, come, 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 husband, come, come, come. We've got to watch our sports. Hallelujah. I'm not joking. It's for real. All right. But what happens is, now this is arbitrary, but whatever team we're supporting most of the time, the same time, I'll get pessimistic and I'll say, it's over. It's over. The prophet has spoken. They're not coming back. Last week I said, it's over. And our team came and they won. And it was awesome and everything. And she said, you've got to believe. You've got to believe. And so sports kind of doesn't matter. Most of the time it doesn't matter. But a lot of times we do that in life, don't we? People are losing their jobs around us. I'm the next one. I'm perishing. It hasn't happened yet, but I believe it's happening to me. Right? Okay. So we've got to be so careful about fast-forwarding the story beyond what God has said and what God has declared. All right? The 12 spies, you remember in the... As they were sent into the promised land, and what they were told to do was, just tell us what you see. Tell us what you see. So they did, but you know that the 10 spies gave an evil report. Not only did they say what they saw, but they made a conclusion. These giants are too big. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. You know, we asked them, we did an interview. How do we look to you? You look like grasshoppers. No, they made assumptions. They're going to kill us. We're not strong enough. And there were two spies, Joshua and Caleb, that they believed this was the promised land. Promised by who? Yahweh, God. So if they're giants in our land, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. All right. And they must have heard this Nigerian song. I have a big God. Oh. Right. They knew that their God was bigger. I learned that at the Life Team Appreciation. When everybody was dancing, I learned the motions. All right. Joshua and Caleb realized our God is bigger than the giants. Our God is bigger than the storm. Our God is bigger than the problem at work, the problem in the family. Our God is bigger than the report from the doctor. Is it real? It's real. It's for real. It's no joke. All right. But there's someone who's bigger, and there is someone who has made a promise to me. Let us go over to the other side. Amen. Abraham, when God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and take him to the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice to me. Abraham knew that the promise was through Isaac, right? He knew that. God had already declared that. So Romans 4 tells us that Abraham was expecting God to raise his son from the dead. All right, so Abraham was going to offer his only son, whom God would raise from the dead. That has a familiar ring to it, doesn't it? God the Father offers his son, raises him from the dead. All right. So please understand that what Abraham was asked to do, he did because he had God's word on it. All right. Don't ever let someone manipulate you into an Isaac offering. You ever been to a service where they say, this is an Isaac offering. Come to the altar and give your Isaac. you know, your cell phone that you love, your car that you love, your title deed to your house. That is silliness. It's silliness. All right. Abraham offered Isaac. God gave his son. Hallelujah. We don't have to give an Isaac offering. Amen. Isaac was offered. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the response of Jesus. What is the response of Jesus? So they say two things. Jesus, you don't care, and we're going to die. He arose, rebuked the wind, verse 40, said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And now here comes the lesson. Here comes the learning, and this is for us. Two things. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? All right. Now, imagine if you're in the boat, right? And now it's calm, but there was a storm and the boat was filling. And now Jesus is asking you two questions. Why were you so fearful? Because there was a storm? Jesus is saying, you don't have to be afraid in a storm. Is it real? Of course it's real. All right. But we can have peace in the storm. We can trust God before the seas are calm. Amen. So one is, why are you so fearful? And why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you trust me? Now, some of us are old enough that not only do we have God's word, but friends, we've got testimonies, don't we? God has been faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful. And that was one of the things that really annoyed God with the children of Israel was, who fed you with manna? Who made water to come from a rock? It was me. And you're the one who participated in this. All right. So whether you've seen a lot of God's faithfulness or you're just getting started in trusting him, Jesus is telling you in the storm, you don't have to be afraid because I've already said we're going to the other side. And secondly, trust me. Put your faith in my declaration. Many times, sometimes, friends, the reason why we're afraid and the reason why we don't have faith is because we're too busy bailing the water. We're trying to fix all the problems ourselves. Okay? My wife has a great saying with me, whether we're going through a real storm or even if it's minor or something like that. But she'll ask me, she said, Walker, have you prayed? And 90% of the time when she asked me that, the answer is, not yet. Pray early. Pray often. Look to Jesus before, in the middle, during the storm. Amen. Because then your heart can be at peace, even though the waters are not yet at peace. So, what this means is that God has expectations of us in the storm. Not to be afraid and to trust him. Now, faith, trusting God, begins, F.F. Bosworth said this, it's biblical. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You are aware. Faith comes by how? Not by an injection, not by... But wouldn't it be awesome if we could just give you faith water? You could drink it and pff, you turn into Superman, all right? No. Faith comes by hearing what God says, God's word, all right? And so let 2025 be a year filled with the promises of God. And Deuteronomy put it this way to the children of Israel, keep God's word before your eyes. Keep it before you. Remind yourself. Fill your heart. Fill your mind. Fill your songs. Fill your affections with what God says about you, what He says about your situation, what He says about your family. Amen. Actively trust God. You don't have to freak out. You can turn to God. Now, I just want to give you a sample, and this is really for you. You can do this for yourself, but this is just a sample of things that God is on the record of having said about you, about Himself, about what He will do in your life. John 14, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. He's leaving, and He's saying, but I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit with you, and it's actually going to be better. It's going to be an upgrade. This is going to be Jesus 3.0 for you. He's going to be in you. John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not. Why? There's a reason. For I am with you. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Just leave it right there. As a single man, that was my wife promise right there. I'm not joking. This is not a men's conference or anything. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a what? A good thing. And I saw this. I said, those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. No good thing. Lord, I'm not a player. Lord, I'm not. I didn't grow up with sisters. I'm nervous around girls. How am I going to find a wife? I will lack no good thing. Lack no good thing. I will lack no wife. Amen. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I've been married for 30 billion years now. my wife still loves me. Amen. No good thing. No lack in your life, God said. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Psalm 118, verse 5. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And lastly, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, but through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. So these are just examples of places in the Word of God where God says, I want to be on the record about my intentions towards you. These are places, opportunities for us to trust Him. And you say, well, it'd be so awesome if Jesus was in the boat with me and he said, let's go to the other side. He did. He did. The Bible says that God watches over His word to perform it. in your life, He is trustworthy. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet and let's apply what we've heard today from the Lord. And if you're here with your spouse, grab them by the hand. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Amen? Let me just say this by the Spirit right now. If you are married and you and your husband, you and your wife, you are both born again. I realize there are cases like we see in 1 Corinthians where someone is you've got a spouse that is not a believer. But if you are a believer and your spouse is a believer, you need to be in the same church every Sunday morning. Do not go to two different churches. Well, Pastor, you know, hey, I'm Penty, and you know, they're UCZ. Well, pick a third one in between. Amen? You need to be in the same house of worship every Sunday for the rest of your life with your spouse. With your spouse. If you're single and you say, oh, well, you know, they're going to go to their church, I'll go to my church. Ungodly, unbiblical, not God's plan. Don't do that. Amen. Why are you saying this? Because I've seen it too many times. Amen. All right, that was for free. That was from the Spirit of the Lord for someone here. So go apply it. But here's what we're going to do. There may be a storm. There may be something that you think may be a storm in 6 months or 12 months. Or a constant fear that kind of keeps coming to you. But right now, I want you to grab a promise of God. I want you to be able to say the sword of the Spirit is the word of God that comes out of our mouth. All right? And I want us to speak to our mountain. I want us to speak to the situation just wherever. And let's just make this a prayer meeting right now at the end of this service. All right? So I'm not going to do it for you. All right? Jesus said that your mountain, Mark 11:23, your mountain needs to hear your voice. Verily I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. So that means you. All right? So let's just get a scripture. Let's get a promise of God. Let's get something where He has spoken. And let's declare it back to Him right now in Jesus' name. Amen?